From Islamic Finance News, the world's leading Islamic finance news provider, this is IFN Podcast.
Welcome to IFN Podcast. I'm Nisreen, news editor at Islamic Finance News, and I'll be your host today. With me in this episode is Dima Jani, the CEO of Alami, a peer-to-peer lending platform based in Indonesia that offers Sharia finance solutions to SMEs in general. Thank you for joining us today, Dima. First of all, congratulations on the recent success of Alami's latest funding round that I heard raised $17.5 million. US dollars. I think this is a good time. Maybe you can share with us some of Alami's future plans following the success of this funding round.
Sure. Thank you very much. So I think we're excited to close the sizable Series A. So total Series A of 20 million. I think in terms of our next plan is we're going to grow our current business by 2 to 3 times over the next year on a peer-to-peer side. And nice. What's exciting is that we're expanding into an Islamic digital bank. So we just successfully acquired a bank earlier this year. And we are currently finishing the development and we are finalizing the licensing. And hopefully we will launch the bank quite soon.
Nice. The bank that you mentioned, is it the Hijra Bank, the rural bank?
That's correct. We acquired a local Sharia rural bank, and we rename it now to Hijra Bank.
Excellent. I think that's exciting news, and maybe we could talk a little bit about, you know, what you think about the Islamic rural banking sector in Indonesia. I know it's sizable. Maybe you could tell us what you think of the trends, if any, in that space, or maybe what you think we can expect from the sector in the coming months or the near future. What do you think of it in general?
Yeah, I think let's talk about the overall Islamic banking industry in Indonesia. Mm. So the landscape is actually daring, right? Because we understand that the three Islamic state-owned banks is now merged into one. And we all know that merger process will not get done in a short time. It will have a continuous effect until everything is ready. So we look forward for that. But in the meantime, there's the, how do you call it? I would say like a vacuum of power on the Islamic banking space. And it's simply because the conventional banks, they're all pushing on their digital expansion. So they are coming up with different strategies to capture the digital banking space. Mm. And at the same time, the conventional fintech players are start to acquiring small banks and to turn it into a digital bank to expand the services. Nice. So we think that if any Islamic fintech is not doing that, then the future of Islamic finance in Indonesia will look bleak. So I guess this is why us expanding into the Islamic banking space is very important, not only for us, but for the future of Islamic finance in Indonesia.
Right. Specifically, how do you think that Islamic financial platforms or fintechs can compete with or maybe get an edge over their conventional counterparts?
Yeah, I think it's quite easy. I mean, especially in a market like Indonesia, where 80% of the population are Muslims. However, obviously, there should be a continuous improvement in terms of the literacy. But in terms of the distinct positioning, the Islamic finance space is still quite small. So I think having one reputable and having a state-of-the-art technology will definitely creating a distinction between us and the other players. That is one. And second, the Islamic banking space have a very good opportunity to capture low cost of funds because of the Wadia savings product. So over the last 3 to 4 years, there are a lot of preference towards the Wadia savings accounts. So essentially, they will reduce the cost of funds and allow the Islamic banks to have a wider spread and thus having a bigger profitability. So I think that in itself is helping a lot.
Okay. I just want to backpedal to the funding round, and this is kind of connected. I also heard that some of the investors involved in that round were not necessarily Islamic investors. And I wanted to ask you what you can tell us about this trend, if it is indeed a trend. Do you think that there's been an increase in interest from non-Islamic or mainstream investors for the Sharia fintech space? Has this always been the case, or is it new?
Well, I think in the span of the last 2 to 3 years, we've experienced that it's quite difficult to find an Islamic investor that has the appetite for tech business. I guess like most of them probably still thinking towards the old economy. So I guess this is unfortunately the reality. And in terms of the mainstream investors, for them, it doesn't really matter whether it's Islamic or not, as long as the idea itself is needed, it can solve like problem in the market. And they just need to understand like what would be the different and what sort of value add that Islamic finance can offer differently than the conventional. Then I think it will be an easy investment approval from such investors. So yeah, we're seeing trends like that.
Great. Well, speaking of also investors that are interested, and I think this is our final question, I wanted to ask you about the news we heard that Alami is in discussions with Turkey for a possible Islamic fintech startup. Maybe you could tell us about what it is that you're working on with Turkey, and who in Turkey? Like, is it the Turkish government or is it a specific organization?
Yeah, definitely. So we met with the deputy ministers of technology and industry of Turkey a couple of months ago. And we met some of the participation banks, some investors there, as well as a conglomerate. And everybody is looking, very interested in developing the Turkish fintech industry, be it a P2P, and especially on the Islamic finance or participation finance, as they call it. We are exploring opportunities creating an expansion plan to Middle Eastern market and also Turkish market. More recently, I was contacted by the president's office as well. They have a fintech division. They're keen to explore some sort of opportunities for us in Turkey.
Right. And yes, as you mentioned, the participation sector, banking sector in Turkey is pretty big. But I don't know about their regulations. Like, regulations wise, is the environment ready for a partnership like this?
So I can imagine Turkey has a very strong market. I think the technology is quite advanced there. And I guess it's just a matter of the government is opening up the industry in terms of the regulation. For example, they have the equity crowdfunding regulation, but they haven't formalized the P2P lending regulation, for example. So I guess it's just a matter of the government turn it on, and I guess the potential is immense. I mean, we're starting to see more unicorns coming out of Turkey, what they call it, the Turkcorns. So yeah, I'm pretty bullish on the Turkish startup community going forward.
Gotcha. And I'm imagining that it's going to be like the Islamic fintech startup that you're thinking about. Do you envision it to be something similar to Alami, or is it going to be different? What kind of services do you envision it to be providing?
Yeah, we're still going to explore the ideas because every market is different. So obviously we need to understand the market first. So I think we're still in the exploratory stage.
Right.
And we're pretty open on ideas, actually.
Okay. Well, that sounds exciting. We look forward to hearing the updates on this from your team, inshallah. All right. Well, that's our time. Once again, thank you so much for joining us in this episode, Dima.
Yeah, thank you very much. And yeah, look forward to connect with you again.
Thank you for listening. For more discussions on the Islamic finance industry, log on to www.islamicfinancenews.com. You can also listen to IFN Podcast on your favorite platforms, including iTunes and Spotify.